If you'd open your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 7, we'll look at a verse there in just a moment, Romans chapter 7. I want to express great appreciation and love for everybody that's here this morning. If you missed the class this morning, you missed something wonderful. Richard was giving an excellent talk, and it had to do with worldview. And I can tell you my dissertation was on worldview. And Richard just gave an excellent description of what a biblical worldview is. And I want to emphasize that before I begin my sermon this morning, because everything that a Christian does, every decision he makes, is based on what? God's Word. Everything. And it was interesting as I did my study on all the different worldviews that exist, the great confusion that there is, even among those that claim to be Christians, about what a biblical worldview is. And I can tell you right now, it starts in Genesis 1:1, and it ends in the book of Revelation. Between those two, everything in God's Word, we need to make sure that we follow. I'd like to ask you for just a moment, how is your relationship with God? How is your relationship with God? How is your relationship with God? A woman came to a preacher with a great deal of sincerity and almost in desperation. And she asked this question, how can I increase my love for God? How can I increase my love for God? Now think about that for just a moment. Isn't that what God wants us to do? Doesn't he want our love for him to increase? And this woman, as she sat across from him, was obviously speaking in desperation. She had a sincere desire. How can I increase my love for God? And as he sat there, he was just so happy that she asked that question. Now, why do you think he was happy she asked that question? Because that is important, isn't it? That each of us has a strong desire to increase our love for God. She was genuinely concerned about her relationship to God. And he asked the question, why do you feel that you do not love God enough? Why do you feel that way? I'm going to just pause here. Have you ever felt that you don't love God enough? Have you ever felt you did not put God first in your life? That there's something that you need to do to put God first in your life? I'm guilty of that. I've had to look at myself, examine myself, and tell myself, you need to make sure that God is always first in your life. Have you ever felt that way? God must be first in our lives. So he asked the question, why do you feel that you don't love God enough? And her response is, I do not do what he wants me to do. I want to be a faithful Christian, but I am so weak. Have we all been guilty of that? Yes. We want to do what God wants us to do. We want to be faithful, but we feel that we're weak. Now, when she answered, her voice was low, but her message was plain. She was so sincere. How can I show my love to God more? How can I do that? The way she spoke it, she said it this way: I am a sinner. Help me in my unbelief. But at the same time, she expressed, I love God. I'm a sinner. Help me. I love God. I love God and recognize his rightful demands for me. I want to serve him, but I'm weak. Help me to be more faithful Christian. Isn't that important? To be a more faithful Christian. Now the contrast is, there are some who come here perhaps, and they might sing the song, Oh, How I Love Jesus. But when they leave here, for the rest of the week, guess what? No thought of how can I show my love to God more. Does God only want us when we come here, as we're here this morning, to acknowledge him, to love him, but then when we leave, it becomes second place or third? No. God wants us to make sure that in every moment of our lives, who should be first? God. Every decision that we make should be based on how can my love to God grow stronger? How can I show my love to God? Song we sometimes sing, I need thee every hour. And people might sing that, but only when they're here. And they forget about God when? Every other hour of the week. But they'll sing that song, I need thee every hour, every moment. When somebody asks that question, how can I increase my love for God? He reminded her of this. Let's get Romans chapter 7, verse 15. The Apostle Paul, do we all know who the Apostle Paul is? Yes. Many of the epistles in the New Testament written by the Apostle Paul. An apostle out of due season. And here he says in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Another version says it this way. For that which I do not allow, and for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. And what he was expressing here is his sincere desire to follow God. But he's struggling. This is the Apostle Paul. He's struggling. He's weak in the flesh. Now, Paul found the solution for this problem that he had in struggling. And that solution to the problem was the promise that Jesus has given to everyone that their sins can be forgiven. That's the promise we all have. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because as he was speaking to this woman, he gave her a couple of pieces of advice. And that is, if you want to show your love to God, these things will help you. And the first thing is, be careful who you associate with. That was one advice. Now think about this. Again, look at your own lives. Who do you associate with? Who do you spend time with? Are they a good influence on you, or are they a bad influence? And what he's telling her, if you want to show your love for God, spend time with those people who are going to have a good influence on you to do that. And again, if you look there at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Is that a true statement? Yes, it is. So if you want to show your love to God, one thing that you can do is make sure you choose the right kind of company. And the second thing he encouraged her to do is this. And this is something we all need to do. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. And this is something that takes some planning on our part, something we need to do. And here he says to pray without what? Pray without ceasing. Turn to God. So that's advice he's given her, and I think that's good advice. If you want your love to grow for God, be careful who you associate with. Associate with those who have a good influence, help you to have a good relationship with God, and pray without ceasing. Now, if we do that, I truly believe that your love for God will grow. Because you have a sincere desire to please God. In contrast, I'd like us to think about something else. Let's turn now to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24. And I'd like you to think about, once again, what is important to you? Again, this woman came to him and asked him, what can I do to have my love for God grow? Today, people make decisions about what's important to them. Here's a situation. One man, he was intended upon becoming wealthy. He only wanted to do those things which gave him advantage over others. He wanted to be the top dog. Another person, he was also more ambitious, but he was wiser. He wanted to do things in business, but he wanted to do it in such a way that he helped others. You see the difference? One wanted to be top dog, but he was going to beat everybody and take advantage of them. The other wanted to be successful, but he wanted to do it in a way where he was helping other people. Now, the first one who wanted to be wealthy, didn't care how he did it, he became filthy rich. Four wives with three Cadillacs. His third wife got the fourth Cadillac in her settlement, but she had to sell it for taxes. So he got rich, four wives, three Cadillacs, because he lost one to his wife who sold it. He was never satisfied, never happy in his life. Now, the second man who wanted to be successful but help others, he worked like a dog, and a lot of people took advantage of him. He made a modest living. He earned respect for the way he did things. And he bored folks to tears with pictures of his grandchildren. I'm guilty of that too. Oh yes, he bought the used Cadillac, the one that the woman sold, at an auction. Now, the moral of this is very simple. What most people want, if it's material in this life, will cost them too much. They will never find peace and joy in their lives. They might be happy doing the things they're doing for the moment, but they'll never find peace with God. Let's turn now to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, because here we see the example. Think about Moses. He lived a time in Egypt when Pharaoh gave the commandment to put all the male children to death. His mother put him out in the river, and the sister of Pharaoh took him up. And he was raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Think about that. Was he rich? Did he have everything that he can imagine? Yes, he was. But look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. Again, making the right decisions in life. Moses had anything he wanted, physically speaking. Great power, great wealth, great education. But here we see in 11, verse 24, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Did he make a decision? Yes, he did. Now notice how the Hebrew writer writes this. By what? By faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. Moses knew who he was. He knew his heritage, his background. He knew about the one true living God. He was taught that. And when it came time to make a decision, what did he choose? He chose to reject all the privilege and power at his disposal to follow the Lord. Verse 25, it tells us here, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. I began earlier asking the question, what do we need to do to show our love to God, for our love to God to grow? Now look at what Moses did. And I would suggest to you that each of us, when we look at our lives, need to make the same kind of decision. And look how it's worded once again. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Verse 26, the Hebrew writer tells us, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. What was Moses doing? He knew what the reward was if he made the right decision. Let me say that one more time. He knew what the reward was if he made the right decision. Now, is that same decision put before us today? Are we going to choose to enjoy this world, you know, the things it has to offer? Or are we going to choose to suffer for the cause of Christ? All who live godly in Christ Jesus will what? Suffer persecution. We are told that. And I think some of us can look back at our lives. We have to make a decision about what we're going to choose to do and how we're going to live our lives. And the whole basis for his decision, in verse 26 again, he looked to the reward. And this is interesting. There's a phrase that some people cannot see beyond the end of their nose. You ever heard that expression? I heard it a long time. I forgot what it meant. They couldn't see beyond their nose. That means they're what? They're short-sighted. So I had to look it up. People like that, who are not like that, who can see beyond the end of their nose, they're not focusing on themselves and unable to look at anything else that's going on. They don't just think about themselves and what they can get right now, but they're more concerned about important issues and how can they help other people in their lives. They're able to grasp things that are truly important in this life. Can we do that? Can we grasp what is truly important? Short-sighted people, I read this up, they quit school early because they don't like all the discipline and things they had to put up with in school. They spend time and they spend their money on having a good time right now rather than planning for what? Taking care of the needs in the future and helping others. They misuse their credit. Have you ever read up the credit bill a lot? I'm sure most of us have at one time, but then you learn. What is the interest right now on credit cards? 25, 30, I don't know. I paid it right. When I get charged, I pay it right off. I don't want to pay that bill. But there was a time in my life I couldn't pay the bill. And what happens? The interest kept doing what? Building up. So again, we have to make the right kind of decisions. But the short-sightedness that's worst of all is those who ignore that life is what? Life is short. And they ignore the idea that we are all going to stand before the Lord and be what? Be judged. And there's one place for sure that I do not want to end up at. Do you know what that place is? Kyle, close your ears. Don't listen to the word. You do not want to go to where? Go to hell. You want to spend eternity in the presence of God. So you can't be short-sighted. You have to look long-term. And you have to realize that this life is short. Today could be what? Our last day. And be ready to meet eternity. Again, the first person, all he wanted to be was rich. Is anybody here just wanting to be rich? I'm guilty of that. I wanted to be, I've told you before, I was going to be number one in my career. That was it. But when I made the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's like a switch clicked. Because then I had to look at everything that was important to me. I had to reevaluate everything. Have you ever had to do that? You were headed one direction and then, that direction's not the right direction. I need to head somewhere else. Now again, our God will make sure that you know which way you need to go if you truly want to go the right way. He'll make it happen. I remember specifically one time I knew what I wanted to do, and I was going up that direction, but then I saw the ones who had went before me, who made it there where I wanted to go. And I came to the realization, that's not what I want. That is not what I want. I did not want to be afraid to make a decision. I did not want to be a hypocrite. I did not want to have somebody else tell me what was right and what was wrong. I only want God to tell me what's right and wrong. And that is it. So again, we can only have one kind of true security. And that only kind of true security is knowing that we can be with God forever in heaven. So again, a lifetime of service to the Lord is what we are expected to do. God wants us to spend our life in service to Him. Now, I'll end this lesson by just asking you one question. Have you ever given something up that was almost impossible to not have to help somebody else? Let me say that one more time. Have you ever given something up to somebody else that was almost impossible to live without, but you wanted to help them? Have you ever done that? I know somebody who did that. Who gave his life for every one of us? Jesus did. He gave his life for every one of us. And that's what we're called to do, isn't it? We are called to go into the world and do what? Make disciples of men, teaching them to observe everything that he's commanded us to do. That's what we're commanded to do. So this morning, I'd like you to give some thought about that original question. How can I increase my love for God? How can I do that? Think about that every day. What can I do to increase my love for God? And the first step is what? What's the first step? You need to obey the gospel. That's the first step. And once you do that, you need to make sure you're faithful all the rest of your life. If you're here this morning, you've not yet obeyed the gospel, we want to encourage you to take that step. And if you have taken that step, again, think about what can you do each day of your life to have your love for God increase. So if you're here this morning, if you're subject to the gospel invitation, you have a spiritual need, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.